Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Father, we give you the praise. Father, as we assemble and around your table this afternoon to receive from you, Lord, we pray that King of Kings, you will come down in your glory. Give us this day our daily bread, the bread. You said in your word, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from your mouth. Father, Lord, our hearts are ready. Our hearts are receptive. Oh my God, open your word, oh Father, Lord, and let it come into our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Use me this day, Father, Lord, like never before. I am getting out of your way that you may have your way. Speak forth your word, King of Kings, unapologetically. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I come against the spirit of destruction. I come against the spirit of distortion. I come against the spirit of generalization. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we will hear the word of God with the correct ears. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, help us, Lord of glory, this afternoon, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you came with your hands, put them together for the Lord. Those were mine, I said, for the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Bless the name of the Lord. This month, I want to encourage you to serve. We're going to be looking at serving God. Hallelujah. Serving God. You know, when the pandemic hit, something happened. This pandemic, I tell you, came with a lot of stuff from the enemy to destabilize not only economies, but to destabilize ministries. Hallelujah. Most people just lost it. You understand? But it is a call to come back to serve the Lord. This is a clarion call. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whether you assemble in this church or not, it is a clarion call for you to come back to serve the living God. That is why he has spared you. You are not so beautiful. You are not so more educated than those who died during this pandemic. He has spared you and I for a reason. Hallelujah. There is a reason why you are still breathing, my friend. God does not waste energy. He does not waste space. If he's still giving you life, that means he still needs you. He still needs you to do something for him. This very afternoon, we're going to be talking about a subject I've called I Must Work God's Work. I must work God's work. And I think Minister Patricia here during intercession touched that a little bit. She said, you know, we need to be doing God's business. God's business. Yeah, I know you are a businessman. Yes, I know you are an accountant. I know you are a banker. But let me tell you, your primary duty is to do God's work. You understand that? The works of God. The works of God. God the Father created all things in how many days? 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That does not mean that he rested from work. He rested one day and he's still working. He continued to work. I can guarantee you that even right now as we are sat here, he is working. He is working. And after creating everything, he's like this, these parents, you know, when we were in Africa, you know, we used to prepare for the children, you know, before they are birthed. But when we came to this country, we found that in this country, they do it at another level. In the Western world, they do it at another level. They prepare. When they are preparing for the birth of a child, my friend, they will paint the room. They will prepare, you know. Everything will be ready before the baby comes. And that's what God did. Before he created you and I, he created that crib for us. He created a crib for us. Everything that we needed, he made sure was here. Then he brought man. Why did he create man? He creates man that he may do what? He may cultivate, he may improve, he may do his works on earth as his agent. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, one of my favorite, most favorite scriptures. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You know what that is? We no matter quote it here. By now, you should have that in memory. Ephesians 2:10. Can somebody tell me what it says? You know it, yeah? Ephesians 2:10. Mm-hmm. Read. For we are his workmanship. Yeah. Created in Christ for good works. Let me tell you, when God created man, the original man, Adam, he created him for good works. But the enemy came and distorted those works. He distorted him. He distorted those works. But now the Bible is saying that we are his workmanship, recreated in Jesus Christ for good works. The Amplified, give us the Amplified. It says, for we are God's own handiwork. Handiwork. When I was in primary school many years ago, you know, I attended a primary school in the village. We used to live in the town, but there are some times when my dad sent me to do primary school in the village. I don't know whether he was punishing me or I don't know. I don't remember. Now, in this school, I found that they had a subject called handiwork. And handiwork was not my forte at all. It was like a punishment. It was hard work for me. When the guys who grew up in the village, for them it was nature. It was second nature to them. But I found it hard to do handiwork. And they would, when handiwork came, everybody had to, you know, you would come up with a project what to do. Some would make mats. Some would, carve these stools on which to sit. You know those stools, those African stools. And I tried to do that, but I almost, I almost chopped off my leg. Handiwork. Handiwork means you've got to put your hands onto this thing that you are making. So you are God's handwork, my friend. Hallelujah. God formed. When the other things, when he was creating other things, he would just say, let there be. Let there be. And it would happen. But when he came to man, that's why I love me. I love the way I look because I know that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. God took his time and knelt, and I don't know in what posture he was, but he came to the ground. Can you imagine God coming to the ground? And then he started to form man out of the dust. His handiwork. He employed his hands. Do you understand what that person sat in your chair is? You were wonderfully made. Hallelujah. For what? For good works. Now the Amplified puts it quite well. It said, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. He recreated me. Before I knew Jesus, all I knew was to do alcohol, to do cigarettes, to do all sorts of stuff. But when I came to him, he recreated me for good works. Hallelujah. Born anew, that we may do those good works which God did what? Predestined. He planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. The good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. My friend, you are created for good works. But that did not stop God from working. God our Father, He is still working. He's still working. He's still, there's that song which we sing, which is in, he's still proving. Is that the one? He's still moving. He's still moving. He's still moving. He is still working. He's still working. And how did we come to be recreated in Christ? We came to be recreated in Christ because He sent His Son. He sent His Son. He sent His Son to do His good works on earth, to do good works in you. And Paul captures this very well. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he says, how God that did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 10, 38, if you are writing down. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit and with the power. To do what? To go around doing good. Doing good. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. Do you see what's happening here? The Trinity is here. God is with him. God is with the Son. And the Son is being, you know, is being used by the Holy Spirit. My goodness. That is how we were recreated into this image that is now to be used by God for His good works. Hallelujah. Whose works are they? His works. The works of the Father. They were not the works of Jesus Christ. Although Jesus Christ was God or is God, He did not do what He wanted to do. He did what the Father asked Him to do. The works that He wrote or did on earth were the works of the Father. That's why you and I must do the works of who? The Father. Hallelujah. Have you ever read this portion of scripture where Jesus Christ comes at the pool of Bethesda? He finds a man who has been infirmed for 38 years. I don't know how many of you here are 38 years. When I look around, I can see some of you are not yet 38 years. 38 years being sick. 38 years of pain. 38 years of hell on earth. And Jesus Christ comes and He does what? He heals this man on a Sabbath. He heals him on a Sabbath. Why does He heal this man on a Sabbath? To show the religious guys, the religious leaders, you know, that God, although God rested on the seventh day, which they valued, Lord, the Sabbath, He is still working. Hallelujah. He rested on the seventh day, but He's still working irrespective of the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, He's even working more on Sabbath. That's why if you're a student of the scriptures, Jesus' miracles, most of them were done on Sabbath. There was something that He was trying to communicate to us, that God is still working. You understand? Our God never sleeps. The Bible says He never slumbers. Psalm 121 verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. In this city in which we live, the city in which we live never sleeps. London never sleeps. Never. It never sleeps. Whilst you are finished your shift, somebody is going to do another shift. Never sleeps. This is London. What about God, the creator of all things? He never sleeps. Why doesn't He sleep? He is working. Even when you are asleep, He is working. Have you ever wondered how you wake up in the morning? He watches over you. Remember those of you who are parents here. Although your children now look at you as if you are nothing. You know, whenever they were little, you would wake up in the morning and in the night and go and check on them and see whether they are sleeping. Some of them would kick the sheets and you would go and cover them. And some of them were so temperamental. So that if you covered them so hard, they would wake up. So you would just do it like that so they don't wake up. There are some parents here. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He watches over you. He's working full time. So according to these guys, the rulers of the synagogues, the religious guys, when Jesus healed this man, according to them, He broke the law. According to them, He was blaspheming. And in John chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says that therefore the Jews started to persecute him. They sought to slay him. They sought to kill him. Why? Because he was doing these things on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine? They were not worried about the healing of the man, the pain that the man was going through for 38 years. What their main problem was that he did it on a Sabbath. You are not even rejoicing because somebody has been delivered. You are so locked up in this, you know, paradigm. Can you imagine? Why did he do it like that? Why did she say that? But the man is healed. Rejoice that the man is healed. Hallelujah. And Jesus responds to them in John chapter 5, verse 17. He says, my Father is doing what? Is working until now. The reason I am healing this man, whether it is a Monday, whether it is a Sabbath, whatever, my Father is working until now. And I too, I am doing what? I am working. You focus on the laws, focus on these things that are inconsequential. For me, I am following what the Father of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath is doing. If the Lord of the Sabbath is able to work on the Sabbath, who am I not to do it? He's saying, I am working. I am working. The Father is working. So am I. Jesus Christ is saying them. He's saying to them. He's saying there's no time to rest. We must continue to work. He is saying that is the reason I am here, to continue his work, to advance his kingdom. Why don't you join me in this venture? In other words, that is why you guys are here too. He's telling these religious guys. What I am doing, he says, what I am doing is what I see the Father doing. John 5, 19. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Huh? For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So if you are here castigating me, haranguing me because I have healed this man on the Sabbath, do not blame me. The Lord of the Sabbath has already done it. Before you see it here, before it is manifest before your very eyes, the Father of the Sabbath has already done it. Are you together with me? It says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. All that he himself is doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Whose son are you? The Bible says that we are his sons. We are his daughters. We need to be tuned into heaven, tuned into God's realm to be able to know what he is doing so that we may do it here in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God the Father and the Son are working in tandem. They are working together. They are working together. Whatever the Son does, the Father has already done. He has been deployed on earth to do the work which the Father does hitherto. Hallelujah. In verse 20, it says, for the Father loves the Son and the Son and shows him all the things he's doing himself. I said, and greater works. If you work with me, if you tune into heaven, you too, greater works than these shall you do. Greater works than these he will show you so that you may marvel. Greater works than these he will show you. So, why was he doing that? Why did God do that? He was doing them so that they may not suppose that the Lord, that Jesus Christ was doing wrong working on the Sabbath. When the religious leaders were persecuting him, they were going against the will of God. Why? Because he's the God of the Sabbath and he can do anything at any time. Anything at any time. Anytime he wishes, he can do it. He can release you. He can deliver you at any time. That is why he delivered. He chose to give Abraham a son at his time of choice. At 100. Did you know that your miracle is still on the way? Do not give up. God can do it at any time. He can give you a marriage at any time. He can give you a business at any time. He can choose to give you a child at any time. He is not governed by time and space and rules and regulations and customs. He can do it at any time. And we must comply and follow suit just like Jesus Christ did. Another example, the healing of the blind man. In John chapter 9, we encounter a man who was blind from birth. This one was blind from birth. Do you know that there are things that you suffer from birth? From birth. Ever since you popped out, things have been, you know, some things have been on some people. And guess what? Because of that, some people are scratching their heads trying to find out what happened to you. John chapter 9, verse 1. What happened to this girl? What happened to this boy? Why doesn't he prosper? Why doesn't he break through? People are asking questions. They are gossiping about you. And he passed by and he saw a blind man born, a man blind from birth. And Jesus and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? The disciples voiced out what many were talking about in silence. You know, there are people who are asking themselves what went wrong with you regarding some issues. What happened? What did they do? Did they sin? I remember many years ago when we were in hospital Apostle Jesus suffering from cancer. Many Christians would come to see her in hospital, but most of them would go asking, what happened? What happened to her? Could that be the Lord, you know, chastising her? You know, everybody will come with serious, serious, serious reasons. They will try a lot of speculation. There was speculation here. Who sinned? Is it his mother? Is it his father? Because they believe that a child to be born, you know, disabled, there must be a root cause. A root cause. And for them it was sin. Jesus Christ was not ready to indulge in this nonsense. He wasn't. Listen to what he tells them. In John chapter 9, verse 3. He says, it is not that this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. Hallelujah. That the works of God may be displayed in him. Your situation is a candidate for God to show his works through you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. In other words, he's saying, you know, that you should not bother about that. Then he takes it higher in verse 4. He says, let me have the KJV, King James Version, in that. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me. I am not here to speculate about reasons why people are going through thick and stuff. Listen. My job in this church is not to begin to ask what happened to Titus, what happened to Emmanuel, what happened to Cindy. No, that's not my job. My job is to do the works of him that sent me in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that he may be, you know, manifest through their lives. Must. Somebody say must. I must. I must. It's not a suggestion. Not I may if I will. Not I can if I feel like it. I don't feel it. You don't feel it. You think every morning I come here because I feel it. If that's what you think, my friend, you are mistaken. I do not stand here every day because I feel like standing here. I stand here because I must stand here. I must. This is not out of convenience. It's not because the conditions are favorable. It's not a mere possibility. It's not that you come to on Sunday, you say, will Pastor Ruben be there or not? Unless I'm not in this country. This is a guarantee I have to be here. I have to. I must be here. Do you understand that? Not because everything is hunky-dory in my life. Not everything, because everything is aligned in my life. No, I must be here. I must do the works of Him that sent me. Jesus Christ is saying so, not because the conditions were right. Jesus Christ's conditions, He had a host of obstacles during His life and ministry here on earth. The religious system of the day was against Him. Men of the letter, religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the seers, and all the scribes, whatever you name them, all those who observed the Sabbath were against Him. They were looking to kill it, to kill Him. A system was always looking to take Him out because He had interrupted it. But in spite of that, He says, you know what? I must do the works of Him that sent me. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, despite the situation, despite the persecution, despite the unsuitable conditions, despite of COVID-19, despite of poverty, despite of the impediments that stand before me, I must work the works of the one who sent me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking to you, a Christian who has been coiled and you know you are impeded by the situations at hand, and you are giving excuses. I can't do that because of this. I have come for today to call you back to do the works of the one who sent you. Come on. A man is being sought to be killed. That does not stop him. Nothing should stop you. He's telling them, I must work the works of Him who sent me. I cannot help myself. That's what it is. I can't help myself. I can't. I will find myself preaching. I will find myself praying for somebody. I will find myself calling somebody. How are you? Some of you, I am calling you, and these days you're no longer answering my phones because I have become too much for you. I will continue calling and seeking for you because I must. I cannot help it. I cannot help it. It's a matter of urgency. I must. I will not be waiting for things to align themselves. If you are waiting for things to align themselves, I have news for you. You will be waiting for a very long time. I am waiting until I get married. I am waiting until I get children. When you get the children, you have no idea what baggage children come with. Bless them. Bless them. Yeah, they are a blessing, but they come with a lot of responsibility. That's what I'm talking about. So, my friend, if you did not serve Him when you were single, guess what? You're adding excuses upon excuses. You know, I can't do this because of Bethel. Mama Bethel. Arise. I have Nkwine manya Nkwine. I can't do this because of Gideon. I can't do this. Gideon is a blessing from God. Let me tell you, these guys have grown up in the church here. Every night of prayer, they would bring you. I can't come to a night of prayer because of my... What? Bring them in the presence of God. They would, wherever we go, they would be there. There are times when we used to go to Liberty Christian Fellowship, you know, and we live in this area where there's at times the marathon would close off the roads. So for you to get there on a Sunday, you've got to wake up early. Earlier than usual. We'd get these guys into the car. Is it Elisha? Into the car. And we'd drive and get into London Bridge earlier than the rest. And we would wait in the cold. We did not give the marathon a chance to be an excuse. We must be in the presence of the Most High God. No time for excuses. I came for you. Today I came for you. No time for excuses. You at home. Hallelujah. COVID-19. You know the people are against me. The people were against Jesus. They wanted to kill him. People should never stop you from doing what you must do, child of God. People will always be people. The last time I checked, you are also a person. And there are some people elsewhere complaining about you as well. People. The people are against me, Pastor. Jesus had many that were going after his life. But he still did what? He did the works of his Father anyway. Hallelujah. And some people these days say, you know, let me first go and sort out my life. Then I will come and do the works of the Lord. You know, Pastor, I need to first build this house. Then I can settle down and come and do what? And so and do the works of God. Do you have the capacity to sort yourself out? You? Do you have the capacity? Who is you to fix you? Only God can fix you. Only God can help you. God fixes you as you do his works. We do not wait for things to align so that we may do his works. No. We work his works so that he may work in us. Many of you here are employees. How many times have you gone to your place of work and the boss has given you an assignment, or you know your duties? And you say, you know, I'm not going to do them today because I first want to go and sort out my marriage at home. I first go and listen. The next day you will be out of that place because there are other people who want the job. You work the job while you sort out your personal stuff. Isn't that true? No. Is that true or not? They tell you leave your personal stuff where? At the door. You have come into my space today to do my will. You are doing the will of the boss. When you go to work, you're not doing your will. You may want to go at 10 o'clock, but the law says you've got, the regulation says your shift ends at 5. Do you pack up your bags and go at 10? No, you've got to wait until 5. But in your heart, most of us, when it comes to 1 o'clock, let's tell the truth. When it comes to 1 o'clock, we just want to go. You feel like going. Somebody said amen. The shift ends at 5, but at 1 o'clock you feel like what? Like you have had enough. It doesn't matter whether you have had enough or not. As long as the boss's will says you must clock out at 5, you've got to stay. So if we do that in the world, why don't we do it with the Father? Let me first go and sort things out at home, and then I will come and do your work. Jesus Christ teaches about the call when he calls men to follow him. Whenever Christ called men to follow him, he called them to follow him to do his works, to do the works that he wants them to do. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 59, he speaks about two kinds of guys. Luke chapter 9, verse 59. Mande boshikara brase terebe. Is this too hard on some of you? I love you. Tell your neighbor that man is your friend. Come on, tell him he's your friend. No. Go ahead. Tell him he's your friend. And he loves you so much. So does God love you? Hallelujah. I love you. Listen. This is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and he said to another, follow me. Follow me to do what? To do my works. But what did the man say? The man said, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He had an excuse. Jesus said to another, Jesus said to him, let the dead do what? Bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Go and do the works that I am sending you to do. That looks like, it sounds really, really, really crude. It sounds uncouth. It sounds as though Jesus Christ did not have a heart. But what is he trying to communicate here? He's trying to communicate that the will of the Father has preeminence. The will of God has preeminence. Because you know what? He's the one who can flip the switch off whenever he wants. Your boss does not have preeminence over your life. When God chooses to flip the switch, my friend, at your place of work, you will be replaced. You will be replaced. In your business, you will be replaced. I'm not saying that discard your job, but I'm saying that, you know what? Give God time. Give God time. And another also said to the Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell to my family. They had excuses. And Jesus said unto him, no man, I don't care who they are, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In this season, you have no idea how many men and women have looked back. Is your hand still on the plow? Is your hand still on the plow? This is a rhetorical answer. Just ask yourself, are you still doing what you used to do before? Have you regressed? You have an excuse. They put their own needs first, these guys. They put God on hold. Then God, stay here. I'm first going to fix my issues. Then I will come back and do what you want me to do. That is disobedience. Putting yourself first and putting on hold, God on hold, that you may go and sort yourself out. Listen. We do not do God's work because everything is sorted. Do you understand? We do his work despite the hardships that we face. Jesus Christ has given us an example. He was persecuted, but he said he must do the works of him that sent him. Another time, Jesus Christ and his disciples are hungry. They are hungry. In John chapter 4, they have gone. Jesus Christ says, I must go to Samaria. Do you notice that he had to go through Samaria? The Samaritans and the Jews did not have any dealings. But he was, because of the works of the Father, because there was this woman who needed deliverance, he had to go to Samaria. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. It was a must. There are some places that you are avoiding, but yet God wants you to go there because there's somebody that he wants you to minister to. There's somebody that he wants you to release through you. If Jesus Christ has dodged Samaria like every other person, this woman at the well would not have been born again. She would not have received Jesus Christ. And guess what? The city would not have received Jesus Christ, because just one person, this woman was the key that unlocked Samaria. She was the key that unlocked Samaria. Why? Because Jesus Christ was ready to do the works of him who sent him. When he got to Samaria, when they were that well, the Bible says they became hungry. And he sent his disciples. He looked at these guys and said, you know, okay, you go and buy some stuff in the town. So they went. They went, bought food. As they bought food, as they were away, Jesus Christ engaged in the works of the Father. He engaged in the works of the Father. He was doing the business of the Father. He was ministering to this woman. As they were looking for food, they find him talking to this woman, and they are wondering why he's talking to this woman. Why is he talking to this woman? First and foremost, she's a Samaritan, and then she's a woman. What is he doing? Is he crazy? So afterwards, they ask him, you know, they want to bring him some food. They say in John chapter 4, verse 31. John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34, we'll be reading those verses. You can write them down. The Bible says, meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. They urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Are you not hungry? You know, most of the times I have found out that hunger pushes us away from the works of God. Inzara. Verse 32. But he assured them because they thought that he had eaten. He says, did somebody give him food while we are away? Did this woman carry something for him? But he assured them and said, I have what? I have food to eat. I have nourishment to eat. But you guys have no idea. So the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him something else to eat? Maybe he's talking over a full stomach. No, he was talking over a full stomach of something else, the works of the Father. Jesus Christ said to them in verse 34, my food, my nourishment is to do the will of him who sent me. Not just do it, but I must accomplish it and completely finish his work. What does food represent? Food represents all the things that we chase after. The needs of the flesh. The things we are hungry to acquire. Thinking that they will bring us satisfaction. But I guarantee you that's not... the more you get, the more you want. Don't we know that? This body does not get satisfied. Jesus is telling them, my satisfaction is doing the will of him who sent me and to accomplish it. That must be your food too, he's telling them. We do not do the work of the Father because we are satisfied. I'm not here doing the work of the Father because my bank account is bouncing in millions of pounds or thousands of pounds for that matter. Not because the conditions are good, no. Not because we are sorted, no. No, 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 no. Your food, my food, your hunger, your primary hunger should be to do the will of him who sent you. It's a compulsion. We are compelled to do the works of the Father. Why? Because we are compelled by his love, and that's obedience. And number two, if we go back to John chapter 9, he says, I must do the works of the Father while it is still what? While it is still day. While it is still day, because the night is coming. We do it because we know that we don't have time on our hands. Let me tell you something. Let me break some news to you. You do not have time. You don't have time. Yesterday, we were leaving here after rehearsals and cleaning up here. And as we were approaching that lift, a young man asked his sister and said, do you ever wonder how much time you have left? And for me, that was a confirmation of my message. Because all along this week, I've been talking about, Lord has been speaking about this. He says, do you ever wonder how much time you have left? Do you ever wonder? Do you? Or are you living as though you are here permanently? I know you have got indefinite leave to remain in the UK. I know you are British, but... Last week, we buried one of my daughters, one of your sisters, Laura. She was British. Do you know how much time you have left? Thank God for the... Whenever I see... We know how to celebrate birthdays, myself inclusive. But every birthday that you celebrate, I've got news for you. You are getting closer to your exit. And the more birthdays you celebrate, that must create or ignite or invoke a matter of urgency to whatever you are doing, especially for the Lord. Do you understand that you are here for a season? He says in John chapter 9 verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is still day. The night cometh when no man can work. And that is a fact. That is not hyperbole. It is a fact. Work when it is still day. Jesus Christ said this even when he was about to resurrect Lazarus. They have sent news to him and they have told him, the one whom you love is dead, is sick. And he chose to stay even more for a few more days until he's dead. And then he says, you know what? Guys, now is the time. We must go return to Judea. And the disciples put him aside and said, man, are you okay? In John chapter 8, 11 verse 8, the disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews were now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? You know, a place where, I'm telling you, there are places where they have wanted to stone you. There are places where if God is sending you back, you must go there and do the works of him who sent you. They are telling him the conditions are not favorable. But his response in John 11, chapter 9, verse 10 is this. Jesus answered and says, are there not 12 hours in a day? So if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. What is he talking about? He's talking about the day. It's still day. I must work the works of the one who sent me. Therefore, irrespective of whether the Jews want to stone me or not, I must go there, irrespective of these circumstances. Because the clock is ticking. What time is it in your day? What time is it in my day? This question I ask. Night is coming. When no one can ask, what can work? The clock is ticking. I must do the works of him who sent me. Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ sent us. You are a sent one. John chapter 17 verse 18. He says, as you sent me into the world, he's telling his father, I have sent them into the world. John chapter 20 verse 21. He said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you as well. Now listen. If we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, we must follow in his example. Doing the works of Jesus Christ who has sent us, just like he did the works of him who sent him. And somebody said, amen. And he promises that we shall do even greater works than he did. But how are you going to do greater works than he did if you're not doing anything? And he's talking about work, not just talk. This is not about talk. It's work. Folding your hands and working for the Lord. I must do them, the works of the Lord. That's why, my friend, you and I must redeem the time. I must redeem the time. Jesus knew that he was here for a season. Jesus, the man, was here for a season, although he's God eternally. But the man, as in the flesh, he was here for a season. And he knew that he had to work quickly. He had to work quickly because time was against him. Paul says and writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. He's writing to the Ephesians as he's rightly writing to us as well. He says, so then, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Amplified says, making the very most of time, buying up each opportunity. Every opportunity that comes before you, you need to grasp it. You need to grab it. Because the days are evil. Hallelujah. We need to redeem. To redeem in the time means to buy it back, to regain and take possession of it. There's a lot of time that you and I have wasted. But since we're still alive, we've got the power to redeem it. Time can be redeemed. Did you hear that? time can be redeemed. Yes, it's gone, but you can redeem it by working extra. Why? Because time is a gift from God. Every nanosecond that you have, my friend, is a gift from God. And none of us know how much we have allotted to us. Only God knows how much time each one of us has here on earth to make decisions that will impact eternity. Did you hear that, my friend? So when God says that we should be redeeming the time, he wants us to live a constant awareness that the clock is ticking so that we may make the most of the time. Work when it is still day, so that we can accomplish and do his works. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10, it says, so then, Galatians 6:10, if you read Galatians 6:9, it says, do not be weary in doing good, as most of us do. We get tired because we don't see results. My friend, he says, if you don't get tired, you will reap in due season. So in verse 10, he says, so as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, not to some people. You know, some of you say, this one I'm going to treat. He says, treat everybody what? Good. All of them, especially those of the household of the faith. Good works. Hallelujah. As I draw this to a conclusion, Jesus Christ did the works of the Father and he accomplished them. That's why he is able to pray in John chapter 17 verse 4 and says, I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Do you understand that? He accomplished the work that he gave him to do. Despite his own will, Jesus Christ finished it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we know that his will is fighting the will of the Father. Just like some of us, our will fight the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, you find that there. It says, when he's praying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He had to go with the will of the Father. It's not about how you feel. It's about, or don't feel like. It's about God's will. Your feelings here do not have a place. I'm telling you the truth. When it comes to the works of God, your feelings do not have a place. My feelings do not have a place. If Jesus had his way, he would have walked, Jesus the man, because Jesus was man and God at the same time. The man in Jesus was struggling with what was coming. The God in him was saying, we can do this. If the man in Jesus had his way, he would never have seen the cross, the death on the cross. But thank God he yielded to the will of him who sent him. And that's why at the cross he was able to say in John chapter 19 verse 30, it is what? It is finished. I have finished the work. That's what he was saying. I have finished the work. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we must do and finish and accomplish his work. God's work involves being a pastor, involves being an assistant pastor, a missionary, teaching in Sunday school, ushering, working in the teens, singing in the choir, you know, all these sorts of cleaning up church, but it's more than that. There are many things that God will show you to do. We must work the works of him that sent us. It is a requirement. It is not optional. Do you understand? Are you doing anything of his as we speak this afternoon? Or are you completely immersed in doing the things that you think are yours? The stuff that you will leave here. Just told you last week we buried Laura. Laura had lots of stuff here. She had houses somewhere, you know, but I've never seen anybody go with these things. They are perishable crowns. But Jesus Christ speaks of an eternal reward in John chapter 4 that is derived from doing the work of God. And he says, open up your eyes and see and see how much work there is. The harvest is ripe, he says. And he says, for those whose eyes have been opened, in John chapter 4 verse 36, he said, they are already getting wages. They are already, you know, they're already reaping. They are already working for the eternal reward. While most people are busy fighting and working for the things that are perishable. Listen, I'm not against work. You must do work. You must survive. But remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord. You will have time for him. We have got countries like in Singapore. We have got churches. We have got churches where CEOs of serious companies come in and do ushering. CEOs. And when we talk about CEOs, I'm talking about a CEO of two employees. I'm talking about CEOs of big companies. They are busier than we are. But they have time for God. You say, Pastor, I am busy. You are busy for God. You. Wowe. Iwaho. Busy for God. You can't even find a day. Like my sister was saying, some of us not even a Sunday. Because that's when they pay a lot. Every shift you are taking. Every shift you take. I love money. And I need you to work. Because when you work, for those of you who are faithful, you bring the tithe in the church. That's how we open the church here. But at the same time, I do not want you to lose your eternal reward. No, I must teach you that. Find the time to do the works of God. Do not wait for conducive circumstances. They are not there. Fight to receive the wages and gather the fruit of eternal life, the fruit of eternity, knowing that there is a day when you will give accountability. Walk away from speculation and empty gossip, just like this, the disciples had. You must work the works of him who sent you. Do you understand what I am saying? You are not here forever. You are here for a day. You have an allotted time on earth. And you have an allotted mission to accomplish. You. A mission that is bigger than you. The mission that God gave you is bigger than you. It's bigger than your wife. It's bigger than your children. It's bigger than your properties. It's bigger than you. Bigger than your life and bigger than your personal goals. That's why you must chase it and accomplish it. Because a time will come when you will stand before him. The Bible says, each one of us shall give an accountability before God. Never forget that. How did you use the time that I gave you? How did you use the talents that I gave you? Paul says, as I finish in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he says, for I preach the gospel. Paul did not preach the gospel out of conduciveness. He says, I preach the gospel. And he says, that gives me no ground. That gives me no ground for boasting. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I do not preach. Necessity was laid upon Paul. Paul preached because it was necessary. The Amplified says, I am compelled to do it because if I don't, I am doomed. Therefore, I must do it. There's a necessity for labor. I must do the works of the one who sent me. Jesus Christ was under restraint. He was bound. He was compelled to do the works of him who sent him. Compelled by the love of the Father and compelled by the sorrow of the people around him. So must we. Bye-bye to excuses in the name of Jesus. Come, let's, while we can, serve the Lord and do his works in the name of Jesus. While it is what? It is still day. While it is still day, because the night is coming. The night coming refers to many things. It refers to the time we are checked out of here. It also refers to times when a time when you can no longer run, when you are getting older. That's why he says, serve the Lord where you are still, when you are still in your youthful years. That's why I thank God for these young kids who come here to serve God. Let them, if I was at their, you know what I was doing when at their age? At the age of these guys, I was doing some other things. Right now, guess what I'm doing? I am redeeming the time. But I'm redeeming the time because God has given me the chance to do that. Not many that I grew up with are here today. They are dead. So I thank him for every nanosecond. I say, Lord, every second that you give me, I will try to see how you benefit from this. Every eye closed where you are.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time.